Pankajadachasnapanam mahanto. Vanchantyuma patir ivatmatamo pahatyai. Yaryam bujakshana labheya bhavat prasadam. Jayam asun vrataksara krishan sata janma bhishyat. Yasyam gripanka jada chasnapanam mahanto. Vanchat yuma patirivatmatamo pahatyai. Yaryam bujakshana balabheya bhavat prasadam. Jayam masun bratakshirshan shatasa janma bhisyat. Yasyam gripanka jada jasnapanam mahanto. Vanchat yuma patirivatmatamo pahatyai. Yaryam bujakshana labheya bhavat prasadam. Jayam masun bratakshirshan shatavjanma bhisyat. Yasya, whose,
Angri,
of the feet,
Pankaja,
lotus, Rajaha, with the dust, Snapanam, bathing, Mahantaha, great souls, Banchanti, hanker after, Umapati, Lord Shiva, husband of goddess Uma, Eva, just as, Atma, their own, Tama, of the ignorance, Apahyatai, to vanquish, Yarhi, when, Ambuja Aksha, O lotus-eyed one, na labheya, I cannot obtain bhavat, your prasadam, mercy, jayam, I should give up. Asun, my life errs, vrata, by austere penances, Krishan, weakened, Shata, hundreds, Janmabhi, after lifetimes, Syat, it may be. Translation. O lotus-eyed one, great souls like Lord Shiva hanker to bathe in the dust of your lotus feet and thereby destroy their ignorance. If I cannot obtain your mercy, I shall simply give up my life force, which will have become weak from the severe penances I will perform. Then, after hundreds of lifetimes of endeavor, I may obtain your mercy. Purport. The divine Rukmini's extraordinary dedication to Sri Krishna is possible only on the spiritual platform, not in the fragile world of mundane affection. Brahman uvacha idyete guya sandesha yadudeva mayahrita vimrishya karatum yachchatra kriyatam tad anantaram. The Brahman said, this is the confidential message I have brought with me, O Lord of the Yadus. Please consider what must be done in these circumstances and do it at once. Purport. When the Brahman arrived, he broke the seal of a confidential letter. The message I have brought with me, O Lord of the Yadus, please consider what must be done in these circumstances and do it at once. Purport. When the Brahman arrived, he broke the seal of a confidential letter written in the privacy of Rukmini's quarters and meant only for Lord Krishna. By using the term Guhya Sandesha, the trustworthy Brahman personally selected by Rukmini here affirms that he has not violated the confidentiality of this message. Only Lord Krishna has heard it. Since the marriage of Rukmini was fast approaching, Sri Krishna would have to act immediately. The term Yadu Deva indicates that Lord Krishna, as the Lord of the all-powerful Yadu dynasty, should make his decision and then mobilize his followers if necessary. Here we find in this beautiful narration of Srimad Bhagavatam the prayers of Rukmini to Lord Sri Krishna. Rukmini is about to be married to the great demon Shishupal. Rukmini is the goddess of fortune, the eternal consort of Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna. And it is the nature of envious souls to want to exploit and enjoy the property of God. Just as Ravana was very much anxious to enjoy the beauty of Sita, and he made great endeavor in this regard, Shishupal is actually the same personality who has come again. When Jai and Vijay were cursed by the four Kumaras to take three births as demons, they first came as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. They came again as Ravana and Kumbhakarna. And here in this Leela we find they come again as Shishupal and Dantavakra. In all three births of these demons, we find their principal characteristic was their envy of Krishna and wanting to exploit or enjoy the property of Krishna. Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu. How envious Hiranyakashipu was that his own son, who was a devotee, was not worshipping him and surrendering to him. Ravana wanted to steal and enjoy with all sorts of illicit motives the goddess of fortune, Sita. Ravana was killed by Ram, but he's come back as Shishupal to try again. He wants to steal away Rukmini, exploit her and enjoy her for his own selfish, materialistic purposes. This is the principal feature of material consciousness. We want to take what belongs to Krishna and we want to claim it as our own. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvalokameheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantimrichchati. Krishna says, I am the proprietor of everything that exists and everything is meant for my enjoyment. And I am the friend, I am the shelter of all living beings. And this understanding only will bring peace. But those who are not willing to surrender to the will of Lord Krishna, they are always anxious to claim proprietorship over God's property. This body is not ours. And all the things of this world, janasya moho yamaham mameti, the basic principle of all material bondage is this misconception of I and mine. I am this body, and those things in relationship to this body are mine. This is called sense gratification. And even in the name of goodness, mode of goodness, sometimes we find people are very pious, people are very charitable. They do not cause harm to others, but they want to do good to others. But still on the concept of I and mine, that I am doing good for you. And I'm going to give you this charity. I'm giving you what's mine for your benefit. You see, I have this money. I'm a rich man. And what I've worked so hard for, what is mine, I'm going to give to an underprivileged person for his benefit. This is also exploitation. No doubt, it will bring about a good karmic reaction, but it will perpetuate material bondage because we're still under the illusion that I am giving and that what I'm giving at one time was mine. Nothing is ours. Everything is the property of God. When a devotee gives in charity, He doesn't think that I'm giving something that is mine. He thinks that this is the property of God that is meant for the benefit of others. And I'm simply the servant delivering it for the benefit of others. I don't get credit. The master who has created it, the Lord who has sent it to this person, he gets the credit. I am only the delivery. I am only the servant. This is knowledge. But even such charitable understanding of life is so rare in this age of Kali Yuga. In this day and age, everyone wants to take more and more and more and more for me, for my family, for my society. This is the mentality of Shishupal. To want to take the property of Krishna and enjoy. And the jiva soul, which is part and parcel of Krishna, is also simply meant for Krishna's service. As Rukmini is simply meant for Krishna's service. And the exploitative forces of this world, being directed by material energy or maya, are trying to take our consciousness, which is meant for Krishna, trying to take it and exploit it, rape it, use it for its own exploitative purposes. And the whole human society is simply victimized by the exploitation of materialistic forces. Wherever we go, if you turn on your television, you turn on your radio, you look at the newspaper, you look at a magazine, you look at the street outside, practically anywhere you look, anything you hear is envious materialistic forces trying to steal your consciousness away from Krishna and exploit it. This is our condition. And Rukmini is showing us the only process by which we can be delivered from the exploitation of maya, from Shishupal. And that is, we have to desperately, helplessly cry out for Krishna's mercy. There is no other way. The powers of illusion are so great that with our intelligence, with our physical strength, or even with whatever spiritual advancement we may have made by tapasya, we can never overcome illusion. Vishwamitra Muni, what type of tapasya he performed? Going to Himalayas in the winter, where no man dares to go, up to his neck in the Ganges, with ice all around him, sitting in meditation, without eating, without sleeping, practically without breathing. And in the summer, in the desert, with burning flame fires in eight directions around him, without eating or sleeping for months at a time. Such tapasya. But simply by the sound of the ankle bells of Menaka, he was exploited. He was victimized. He was defeated by maya. And we find even great, great scholars, they could memorize all the Vedic literatures. They can speak profound philosophy, but they cannot escape from the power of maya. Not through yoga, not through jnana, not through any amount of charity or fruit of activities, can anyone, nor has ever anyone been delivered from the power of Maya. It is only through bhakti. And here we understand what is the very essence of bhakti. It is not simply the physical activities of devotional service, but it is the cultivation of that awareness within one's heart by which we understand that I have no other shelter than Krishna. And without Krishna, I have no life. I have no reason to live. A devotee has to long with such spiritual greed for Krishna's mercy. Here Rukmini is saying, if I cannot obtain your mercy, I shall simply give up my vital force. And then she's explaining how precious and valuable that mercy is. Then after hundreds of lifetimes of endeavor, I may obtain your mercy. We cannot think that Krishna's mercy is something cheap. We cannot think it is something we obtain just by giving some donation in the hundi, or by bowing down before the deities, or by chanting some mantras. The mercy that Rukmini is talking about is the mercy by which Krishna reveals himself to us. Ye yathamam prapadyante tamstathaiva bhajamyaham mamavart manuvartante manusya bharata sarvasha. Krishna says, as you approach me, I will reward you accordingly. As we call out his name, that is how Krishna will reveal himself to us. We have to want Krishna so bad. We have to have no other goal in our life. There is a story of Gajendra. In his elephant body, he was enjoying. He was the king of the jungle. He had his wife, he had his children. He had his fame and prestige. He was obviously a very religious elephant, very pious. But through all of that, he never obtained the darshan of Krishna. But when he was in that lake and the crocodile bit his leg and he was bleeding, and crocodile teeth are very sharp and it's very painful, and he was fighting, he was using all his strength. If he would have won that fight, he would have lost the war. The ultimate war is the war against Maya, the war against repeated birth and death. They were fighting for years, and the crocodile was gaining strength, and Gajendra was losing strength. However we try to fight against material energy, we may appear that we may be winning for some time, but we should understand that the spirit soul is spiritual. And in this material world, no matter how hard we fight, we're going to lose, because we are in the enemy's waters, where Maya is getting greater and greater strength at every minute. So in the same way, Gajendra was becoming weaker and weaker and weaker until he realized he was on the verge of death. And he looked at his children, and he looked at his wife, and he looked at his friends and family members. "Will you help me?" "We cannot help you. You're on your own." In that point of complete desperation, where he understood it was a matter of life or death, that's when he plucked that lotus flower and held it in the sky and started crying out beautiful prayers to Lord Vishnu. And because he cried out Krishna's name with such urgency, with such utter dependence, seeking shelter, within a moment, the Supreme Lord appeared before him on his beautiful bird carrier, Garuda. And with the Sudarshan Chakra, he severed the head of the crocodile, which means he released him from the jaws of birth and death. And then he brought him to Vaikuntha in his original spiritual body. That is what it takes, that consciousness, to actually attract the mercy that we are all longing for. There's no doubt. Whatever little you do, you're going in Krishna consciousness, you're going to receive Krishna's mercy proportionately. But the Gaudiya Vaishnav Siddhanta does not settle for anything less than unalloyed, pure, unmotivated surrender. And none of our acharyas will accept anything less. And that is their mercy. Because if the guru or if the great previous acharyas were to advocate anything less than utter surrender, we would never evolve beyond that. Because the nature, the tendency of a conditioned soul is to try to get back, try to get by with as little as possible. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of all the Vedic literatures, he chose the Srimad Bhagavatam, Amalam Purana, because it kicks out anything but complete surrender to the Lord. And he taught only the principles of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Other Vedic literatures are mixed with Artha Kama Dhamma Moksha. And here we find the essence of the Bhagavatam in this verse. That Krishna, if I cannot obtain your mercy, I shall simply give up my vital force. Rukmini is teaching all of us, by her example, how much we should be longing for Krishna, how much we should be determined, understanding the emergency of the situation. To cultivate that awareness is the purpose of our sadhana. We sit and we hear Srimad Bhagavatam every morning. We chant Mahamantra in kirtan, in japa. We perform so many acts of seva throughout the day. But we must keep this aim in our mind that the real purpose of all of my devotional activities is to develop this consciousness by which I am crying out for Krishna's mercy. By which we understand the desperate condition we're in this material world. We have to learn to cry out. And sometimes when you have this desire, then Krishna puts you in difficult situations. We should welcome them. If Shishupal wasn't about to steal Rukmini away, perhaps she wouldn't be crying out the way she is. If the crocodile didn't have Gajendra on the point of death, perhaps he wouldn't have cried out the way he did. If Dushasana wasn't on the verge of stripping Draupadi naked, she may have said, "Hey Krishna, hey Govinda." But because she was about to lose her chastity, she cried out, "Hey Krishna, hey Govinda. You are my only shelter. Save me. Without you, I only have death. Your mercy is so precious. It is so valuable. If it takes me millions and millions and millions of lifetimes to achieve, I will consider myself greatly fortunate." But at this very moment, I desperately need your mercy. In this way, we must learn to chant, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare." Krishna says in Gita that two great enemies for any spiritual aspirant is ego and lethargy. Lethargy means complacency. Thinking we have some comfortable situation in this world. Thinking everything is all right. Thinking everything is very nice. Thinking that I have some time to make spiritual advancement. Now let me enjoy. Or now let me just feel sorry for myself for a while. And sometime in the future, I'll take shelter of Krishna. The future never comes. This is Maya's trick to steal away our consciousness moment after moment after moment until we find it's too late. This complacency, this lethargy must be given up. We must understand, padam padam yadvi padam natesham, even if we are not presently suffering some terrible tribulation, we should understand that the nature of this world is that at any minute I will. Queen Kunti prayed for tribulations because it helped her to always be crying out for Krishna's mercy. If we hear every day with the proper frame of mind from the sadhus, Srimad Bhagavatam, we don't have to be put in terrible tribulations. Through hearing, we'll understand that we're already in a tribulation. Whether we're in the crocodile's mouth at the present time or whether the crocodile's about to devour us, they're both urgent emergency conditions of life. If we're not being crushed by Maya, we're about to be crushed by Maya. We should see it and we should know it. And we should help one another to never forget it. don't be complacent. Don't waste time. We may have tilak and kanti mala, and we may be wearing dhoti, but don't be complacent. Don't take Krishna consciousness for granted. Don't think everything is all right. Don't think Krishna's giving me what I want and I can enjoy life and at the same time make a little spiritual advancement. We have to strive. We have to inflict upon ourselves a condition where we're willing to struggle through our intelligence. We have to fight. We have to struggle. We have to know that Krishna, I am yours, and everything is yours. And see my predicament in this world. It's desperate. Please save me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Is there any questions?
This always, this doubt used to be there in my mind, that the only hope for going back to Godhead, as for our Gaudiya Sampradaya, is to have a complete desperation that there is no hope for us in this world. And we have to cry out on that basis itself, continuously, and then when Krishna is pleased, then only there is some hope for us going back to Godhead. Now, there is so many years are there in our spiritual life, it means we have to get through in this material world. At least some years are there. Of course, there's a padam, padam, vipadam, but on an average, we know it, there are so many years we have to take out from this, we have to stay in this world. And the material conditioning is so strong in our mind. Today, we might be in desperation crying for Krishna, and Krishna is protecting us. Tomorrow, if that material conditioning is overcoming me altogether, and I might not be crying in desperation, and Krishna will not give his mercy at all. And if he doesn't give the mercy, again I have to come into this world, and again I have to face all this birth, death, old age, disease. And one thing is damn sure, we have seen this world, one conviction we have got it, and we don't want to come in this world. Now on one side, material conditioning is very strong. We can't overcome those material conditioning. Other side, we do not know that we will be having that desperation attitude for the whole of our lifetime. So if at all that desperation gets off from our life due to our material conditioning, we have to come once again into this material world, that we do not want it also. So how to come out from that crux itself, that no material conditioning can overcome us, this desperation. At the same time, we have only one conviction that we want to go back to Godhead, and whatsoever that material conditioning comes up, we can overcome it, and desperation is there constantly forever for the whole of our lifetime. That is always there and constantly tickling us, and we don't know how to come out of that.
Sadhu satsang. If we learn the proper process of associating with devotees, and we always have that association, that will protect us from complacency. But on our own, our nature is to always be looking for the easiest way. Unless we have the support of the sadhus, of the Vaishnavas, who are always reminding us and always pushing us upward, then it is inevitable that we'll take the easiest path. Therefore, we must know a satsanga tyaga of Vaishnavachar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if you want to be Krishna conscious, seek out always the company of the association of advanced devotees and avoid the association of materialistic people. because the materialistic consciousness will make you think everything is all right, enjoy. And the devotees will always remind you that no, samsara dhava nala lita loka, this material world is on fire. Don't give up Krishna's lotus feet for a moment. We must never give up the association of devotees. That association will carry us through this burning forest fire of material existence and keep us always aware. We have to associate with those devotees who are always reminding us, who are always really endeavoring, struggling, and surrendering. That it is why it is so important for grihasthas to associate with those who are in the renounced order, brahmacharis and sannyasis. But not just ordinary brahmacharis and sannyasis, but those we see who are qualitatively really struggling and performing austerities for Krishna. Because otherwise the tendency of grihastha life is I have my home, I have my wife, nice food. It's relaxing. And I'm doing my sadhana, so I'm all right. That's all right, but it's not enough. But when we associate with devotees who are giving up everything, who are always reminding us to give up everything, then we are alert. Yes, I must continue the struggle. I must be desperate for Krishna. If you never let go of that association, you will be protected.
Krishna, not test us on that basis, that in our course of life, if it will not happen that way at least, that we will not have associations. Because always that fear is there. Many of the sadhus or many of the sannyasis, they just leave it altogether. And sometimes we have a faith in them, they go away, we get such a backstroke that what happened to us? We feel it, these people was thus with us. So is it not happened that way, that there would not be any association itself for us? Then if there is no association, then what hope do we have? So it will not happen that way, no?
If you are sincere, Krishna will always give you that association. If you are insincere, he may take it away. And what is the quality of that sincerity? That you really want it, and that you take advantage of it in the proper consciousness. That means you hear submissively, and you're willing to serve. If you are hearing submissively in that association of sadhus, and you are willing to serve, that is the quality Krishna will see that you are sincere, and he will never take it away. Don't think that because you're wearing saffron, it doesn't mean you're not going to be complacent. We find this is the reason most grihasthas lose their faith in sannyasis and sadhus and babajis and brahmacharis, because they see them just laying around eating rotis. Huh? They're not doing any seva. They're not struggling. They might sleep on the ground, but so what? The animals are also sleeping on the ground. They have to be actually, honestly, striving, struggling, working hard, performing austerities for the benefit of humanity and for the service of Krishna. That type of person we want to associate with. Yes?
I don't want to offend anyone. Prabhu, I was here in October, and I think I heard the same exact question.
If you were in if you were here in October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, or next October, you'll hear the same question.
Maybe the sentences were mixed around a little, but the same basic words were there.
Yes.
Okay. Lolium. You got to give him a Lolium mantra.
Hariwa.
That other thing, Maharaj, if you could, when you're chanting japa, if you could move up a little bit so we could circumambulate you.
Huh? Circumambulate what?
Because the devotees that are walking around during japa, it's an opportunity to circumambulate the devotees. But you're sitting too close to the asana, too close to the seat. So then it's hard. You have to give the opportunity for...
I always like to keep devotees in front of me. My position is servant. The servant should always take the position of being behind, trying to follow in the footsteps of all the great souls. Yes.
When we talk of spiritual complacency, it goes hand in hand with, especially for grihasthas who have outside responsibilities, it goes hand in hand with material attachments and their responsibilities outside. Now, we are told that we should see this as a service to Krishna, and therefore it should be done as efficiently as possible, and we have the example of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But actually speaking, we see that if we really want to progress in spiritual life, if we want to develop detachment, spend the amount of time that it is necessary, association also is, it is surrender of course, but it also means getting inspired and performing austerities and doing lots of service. Then somehow it is a contradiction to say that it is that you have to be the best in your service. You have to let go some of the you. For example, if you want to be the biggest businessman, I think it's impossible to. You can't be the biggest, and you have to be. All right, you can do something, but I don't see how we can really, because this. I don't know how Bhaktivinoda Thakur did it, but if you see all around, unless you really work 16, 18 hours a day, which others do, and which is, which you say they are mudas, then of course we should not do that, but then we can't be the best. So is it a question of a choice at the end, that we do the best we can, and but then we must see our priorities?
No one can be the best except Krishna. Krishna is the best. What does it mean to be the best businessman? It means the businessman who's doing everything for the best person. That's Krishna. Doesn't mean to compete on the material level with greedy, materialistic people. It means to do what we're doing with the best quality of consciousness and in such a way that we could offer the best possible service to Krishna. If your consciousness is not pure, you can't offer anything properly to Krishna. So if we work 18 or 20 hours a day and we have no sadhana and we have no satsang
and we make billions and billions and billions of dollars, we will not be able to offer one paisa with any quality of devotion. Is that best? That's worst. Krishna doesn't see the quantity, he sees the quality. So we are not concerned with being the best businessman. We're not concerned with being the biggest of anything. We're concerned with pleasing Krishna. And what pleases Krishna? Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. Even if you offer a fruit, a leaf, a little water with devotion, Krishna's pleased. But he sees our endeavor. Whatever our endeavor is, if it is offered with devotion, that is best. So we must know how to properly balance our life in such a way that we are pleasing Krishna. And for this reason, we need the guidance of Gurudev and advanced Vaishnavas. They are telling us that you must have good sadhana. You must chant at least 16 rounds every day. You must read Srimad Bhagavatam or hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day. You must regularly associate with devotees. Unless we put many hours every day into this, whatever quantity we offer to Krishna, it will have no spiritual attraction. Krishna will not be pleased. Therefore, within the parameter by which we can have a pure consciousness through satsang and sadhana, we should work as hard as we can so that we could facilitate as much as we can Krishna's service. That should be our goal. Trying to be the best is false ego if it's on the material platform. Yes?
So if we... I agree that we must concentrate on the on our daily sadhana, chanting, etc. But then whatever remaining time we have, whatever service we put in, even to do, I agree, we don't have to be the best in the sense of being the biggest, but if we have to do proper justice to that service, we are required to, at least externally, we have to compete. Right? We have to see it in that way and actually seek, not internally, but at least we have to, for the sake of the company or whatever, has to make progress, and therefore we have to be constantly thinking about it, thinking of ways of improving, how you can do, etc. Now, to balance that with, and then to say that we don't get attached to it, it needs a pure consciousness, and we are neophytes, so. It's a catch 22 really. How do we become, do we say that you first concentrate only on your sadhana, etc., develop a pure consciousness, and then whatever little time you have, then start going in business? Because if you already are in a situation where your service requires you minimum to spend certain amount of time, and you do feel at times you really get completely absorbed and contaminated, attached. How do you cut back and then first develop your, you put aside certain amount of time, etc. Because you already have been given that position. It's not that you could gradually progress and then say that if I have time, I can do it. So you are in a position where you have to be constantly competing and things, and yet you don't have the pure consciousness. So you can't cut back and say that how do you do it in the limited amount of time? For example, in the 1.5 hours of chanting, we can put the effort, but I don't find that that gives, I'll do that and go into the office and the whole day you can be in, being in a consciousness which doesn't let you get so absorbed and so worked up that you are constantly thinking about it. Because you have to put in a lot of thoughts, you have to put in actually, you have to think about all the time because that's what you put in. But at the same time you don't get attached to that thinking, it's something which is irreconcilable, especially when you are in a neophyte stage. So how does one go about it when we are already in that position?
There are two principles that we must take very seriously. If we are humbly associating with devotees regularly, and if we are performing our sadhana faithfully and sincerely and regularly, then Krishna will protect us. If it is our prescribed duty, just like we have read the story of Maharaj Priyavrat. Maharaj Priyavrat was a brahmachari living Gandhamadana mountain. But his Gurudev and his Param Guru, Lord Brahma, Narada Muni, they both ultimately decided that he should get married and he should be the king. Now, if we think that our business is taxing to the mind, can you imagine being the king of the planet Earth? Huh? So many considerations. Not only you're competing with other businesses, but you're competing with demons and other armies and other opponents. Huh? Taxation. Anyways, he surrendered to that service because it was the best way he could help. And in the process, he actually got caught up. He actually began to realize that I'm becoming too much attached to my wife, and I'm becoming too much attached to all these things around me. But he realized that because he was being protected by Krishna. Because he was performing his work on the order of Krishna, he was protected by Krishna. So if we have good sadhana, if we have regular association of devotees, you see, the more you're in that situation you're speaking of, the more desperately you have to have regular association with devotees. In the situation you're speaking out, if you're not associating with devotees very, very regularly, hearing from them, doing some seva, doing sadhana, you're finished. Your consciousness will definitely be washed away by illusion. But if this is the service that we're asked to perform, we have to do it, as Priyavrat had to do it. But we have to be very careful. The first thing is we must regularly associate with devotees, understand how desperate we need to, and have good sadhana. And the second thing is we're working so hard, we're competing so ferociously. What are we going to do with the results? We have to give it to Krishna. We have to make that sacrifice. Then Krishna sees that we're actually doing it for him. And then he will actually really protect us. Krishna tells Arjuna in Gita, always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me, offer your homage to me. In this way you will come to me without fail. He also says, karamanyevadikarashte mapaleshudakashtana, that whatever you have, offer the fruits of your actions to me. So both of these things side by side are essential. One is through our sadhana, we learn to remember Krishna and think of Krishna. And two is, we must learn to offer the fruits of our actions to Krishna. This is Gita's philosophy. We may be working, we may be toiling in our businesses or in our professions so hard. The more you can give for Krishna, the more he'll protect you. The more we try to keep for ourselves or keep for others, the more we're on our own. So we should be doing both. We should have good sadhana. We should sacrifice as much as possible of the fruits of our actions for Krishna's service. And if we do like this, and it's our order to continue, then we will be protected. Definitely. 100%. We may get caught up, but Krishna will still protect us. Because we have good satsang, we have good sadhana, and we're actually giving the fruits for him. Bhagavad Gita teaches how a man of action, a man of the world, can become perfect. This is the process.
Continuation is Radhayan Prabhu's question.
Same question with different words.
Not so much. We have been told that ours is a preaching movement, and you have to show by our example, the grahasthas have to show by the example that they are keeping an equilibrium point between as far as their profession is concerned as far as spiritual sadhana is concerned. But my own experience is once you are there in spiritual life, in the beginning we can keep an equilibrium point somewhere or the other, both the things going together. But then we advance more into spiritual life, it happens somewhere or other, we have compromising something into our profession. And sometimes it so happens it has an impact on our performance. And once it has an impact on our performance is not so good enough, whatever we were having in the past, somewhere or the other, the people used to criticize in that way that you people being in more in spiritual life, you are compromising your profession or this or that, this is not Krishna consciousness. On the contrary, they are not getting the preaching attitude, but they go away from us. So how to go for it? We have to give more attention to our preaching, or we have to just don't care about all those things?
Materialists are greedy because they want ego, prestige and wealth. Devotees are greedy for service. If you're actually giving the fruits of your actions for Krishna consciousness, and you see that it's being utilized to help other living beings, you'll be greedy to get more. If we become detached and think, well, I'm satisfied, I don't need anything else, so I don't have to work so hard. That's not Krishna consciousness. Arjuna was greedy to win that war so that Krishna would be pleased. If a businessman is working and he wants to dedicate the fruits of his activities for the benefit of others in the service of Krishna, he should be greedy, not for himself, but for the need of others. That should be our motivating force. You may be content now that you're Krishna conscious that really I don't need much more of anything. And if it's your service to just be live a simple life and just go out and preach, then that's what you should do. You shouldn't try for any more. You just take what you need, work for just enough for what you need, and then forget anything else. Don't compete. Survive and then just be with the devotees and help. That's your service. You should be like that. Let anyone criticize. What do we care? But if our service is to facilitate, then we should be greedy. We should compete. We should fight. We should defeat all opposition so that we can take as much as we can and utilize it for the suffering humanity in the service of Krishna. We have to understand what our service is. We have to be willing to strive. Arjuna was content going to the forest But Krishna said, no, you fight, you win for me. We have to be willing to do that. And if it means that we become vicious, we're willing to become vicious for Krishna. Not for ourselves. Huh? Yes. Sri Jagannath Das. Does everyone know Jagannath Prabhu? I'd like to introduce everyone. I'd like to welcome Jagannath Das Prabhu to Sri Radha Gopinath's temple. Jagannath Das Prabhu is a very illustrious, wonderful Vaishnava, a dear friend. He's a beloved disciple of Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayan Maharaj, one of the very dear friends of our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. And Jagannath Das Prabhu has published several wonderful books in English of Narayan Maharaj. And he's always assisting in so many wonderful ways his spiritual master. You remember Srila Narayan Maharaj came to our temple just a couple months ago? So we'd like to welcome Jagannath Prabhu here. Everyone, please give him your kindness and your mercy.
Yes. Anyway, I just wanted to support what Maharaj had said about everything should be done in relation to bhakti. You know, the Vedic culture is based on varnasram, and Krishna has placed his devotee in every level of society, from the highest, from the topmost level to the lowmost level. You know, all service should be done in relation to bhakti, like Maharaj said. Whatever we do for Krishna. I mean, we only do it for Krishna. Whether you're a businessman, whether you're a doctor, doesn't matter the profession. It's always done with Krishna as in the center, as Maharaj so nicely put earlier. You know, whatever we do for Krishna. If we have to be vicious like Maharaj said for Krishna, we'll be vicious for Krishna. If we have to be sweet for Krishna. But strata is necessary. Strata. You know, I mean, I'm speaking actually especially to you because you had these questions that were really like this. You must have faith in the parampara and faith in Gurudev. I mean, Gurudev is the transparent medium, you know, to give the proper direction and to give the proper insight to the particular situation. If one accepts defeat and guidance of Sri Gurudev, this person has no inconveniences in life because Krishna will give all through Gurudev. That's all I wanted to say, Maharaj.
Hariyo.
Haribo.
Jagannath always has nice words to speak. Krishna asked Arjuna to be vicious. When he was fighting with Karna, Karna said his chariot wheel got stuck in the mud. And Karna said, I know you're a good fair and square Kshatriya, Arjuna. I know you never break the Kshatriya rules, so I'm going to put down my bow and arrow, and I'm going to get off my chariot, and I'm going to put both hands on my wheel, and I'm going to take my wheel out of the chariot, I mean out of the mud, and I know, Arjuna, that you won't dare to fight with me while I'm in this condition. You'll wait. Huh? Krishna told Arjuna, kill him now. And Arjuna said, what? This is not the way Kshatriyas fight. No, you must kill him now. He acted viciously because Krishna wanted him to win the war. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for Krishna. Thank you very much. Very well.